Thanks, guys. Please turn with me to Hebrews 12. That's page 1210. We've been doing Hebrews on Sunday evenings. Tonight, just going to speak for a few moments. I'm not going to speak very long, and I wanted to base what I want to say on Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And we'll end our reading there. The words pressing on have been coming to me in recent days, and I think these verses of Scripture are good in that respect and in that context, especially as we look back, as we've been doing, looking back over the past year and giving thanks for God's amazing faithfulness to us, but also as we press on and look ahead into what God may have for us in the next year or so. We stepped out in faith, as has been said by the guys before me, regarding the building project, and I certainly am delighted with the outcome. I said to the elders recently, when I came 13 years ago to this church, after a few months of looking and considering what was going on here, I presented a vision paper to the session. And that vision, by and large, was approved by the session. All the elements and changes suggested in that paper 12 years ago have been incorporated over that time. And the very last building block of that paper, the last recommendation of that paper, was the foyer renovation, and that has now been completed. In fact, it's grown larger than the foyer, obviously. And is the better for it, with the additional corridor and the extra rooms. And it was a great joy also to hear this week that it has come in $100,000 under budget, which I think is also a good reason for rejoicing today. And we might, and I might be tempted to coast and to bask in what we have. We might be tempted, and I might be tempted, to put the feet up and relax and enjoy where we are. But I don't think that's a good idea. I have a certain restlessness, because there is always more, and as this word of Hebrews exhorts us, to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Over the past 2 years, we have explored, pardon me if I have a cold, we have explored and encouraged each other in two I's. The first I was intimacy. You may remember as I took us through the Song of Songs. And then this year, the second I that I presented was the I of invitation, that this would be a year of invitation, inviting people to church, inviting people, hopefully, to Alpha, and so on. And I think the new building has actually helped us with that in that respect. It's helped us. And in fact, I've seen it happening. I've been seeing more people inviting folks because we know we like the building. We think other people will like the building, and that's good. And that's part of the reason that we did it in terms of its openness, its transparency. Yes, its comfort. And that's good to see that invitational culture continuing to grow. So as that last building block has occurred from my initial vision, I felt it upon my heart to look into the next 5 years, God willing, if God permits me to be minister here and to lead you good folk. In a few weeks, the session, the Kirk session, will be meeting for a day away in April to consider some thoughts and ideas that I will be giving to them. As I'm writing that paper currently, I would appreciate your prayers for that. The last 10 years have seen such changes in our society, such changes in our culture. Yes, there's the whole technological changes, the information age, the social age, the smartphone age, the internet age, and so on. Just things have moved on so much. But also, in the Western world, there has been an increasing hostility to Christianity, an increasing hostility to Christian values, Christian understanding of everything from what we are as individual people to the institution of marriage. Just everything is changing. So we have immense challenges before us today. But at the end of the day, people have not changed. There is still an ache, a longing within people. And they can pour as much money and possessions and hobbies and whatever into the gap that is in their heart and soul. But ultimately, it is a God-shaped gap. And ultimately, we have the answer to that gap. No matter what anyone says, I'm convinced we have the answer. So with that confidence, I believe as church, as High Kirk, we have more work to do, more people to win, more folks to invite into this atmosphere of worship and the Holy Spirit. So as I finalize some of these thoughts for session, I want you to pray for me over the next week or two. I want you to pray for the Kirk session, the elders, as we meet together to pray, to think through, to plan what does the future shape of High Kirk look like? Because change is not easy. Never was, never has been. But I'm convinced that as a church we need to press on. As a church we need to press into some stuff. So I would value and covet your prayers for that. Three or four areas that I'm focusing on, and I think that we as a church need to focus on, are in terms of what we offer here on a Sunday. I think we need to focus also on our children's ministry and our youth ministry. And of course, we're coming to a point where we are losing two or three members of staff, so it's an appropriate point to consider our staffing. It's an appropriate point for us as a church team. Before we make new appointments, that we ask for God's leadership and God's guidance into this. So this is a very key and interesting time for us as a church and for us as a session. I do not want us to be complacent. We need to continue to invest in our young people. I always keep quoting this statistic that most people come to faith, to the Christian faith, in that kind of window between 10 and age 16. So therefore, we need to keep pouring resources and investment into that window, as it were. If the devil knows that most people come to faith in that window, he's going to be sowing seeds of confusion. He's going to be targeting that age group, and that is what I think we see happening. So I make no excuse for having that very intentional focus. We currently have about 250 young people aged 0 to 18 on our books. And we're also in contact with at least another 100 or so who come to our organizations and who come through this building, not to mention the schools work that Andrew and others have been involved in. But I don't want to just focus on the younger end of the spectrum, because there are those at the older end. And sometimes I know as churches we've been criticized for focusing so much on the youth that we maybe ignore those who are older. And so I want us as well to focus on those who are just that bit older, and in terms of serving them, equipping them, listening to them, and freeing them also into God's service. We will continue to also have an outward emphasis in all that we do. We are one of the few churches to employ an outreach worker, and it has been great to see the impact in the local area, the establishment of Hope House over the years. And Lorraine and I have spoken recently, and we both agree. It's time to press on. It's time to press in and not be complacent. We're reviewing Cafe Church as to where that goes as session. Again, appreciate prayer for that. And of course, after Easter, we've got Alpha on the horizon. So these are some of the areas that we're focusing on and that I'm focusing on, hopefully under God's leading and direction. The writer of Hebrews challenges us to run the race in an unencumbered way, because there are many things that can hold us back as Christians from running the race and pressing on. There may be obviously bad things like the sins of the flesh, bad habits, but some of the things that hold us back can be good things that we have allowed to be God things. Or perhaps even it's as simple as somebody else's opinion of us, and that's holding us back. We're worried about the opinion of others. So as we think about the next 5 years and as we think and pray about what God wants for us, I want us to press on and to press into what God has for this church. This year, you may know, is the 250-year anniversary of the fellowship that first met out in Kirkenriola. The earliest date we have is 1769, and there's a kind of a big stone out at the back there in the foyer, which has this date on it, 1769. The early part of this church fellowship is a little bit confusing, but 1769, there was a meeting place out at Kirkenriola. I need to talk to Tom Montgomery, actually, about where exactly it is. I tried to find it yesterday, but anyway. So I want you to hold two things in your head. First of all, 1769, which is kind of the first record of a meeting in Kirkenriola, probably near the graveyard there. And then 1794, a few years later, there was another fellowship that met here, which is just before you come to the fork in the road that takes you to Bucknagh. The right road, Carnalbona, the left road takes you to Bucknagh. So just before that, if you look to the left of the road, you see the remnants of a building. And in 1794, the twinned church, shall we say, was set up. Next picture there, Mark, please. It's not very big. I mean, in terms of the length of the building, it was maybe 40 feet or so. It's not huge. Another one, Mark. So when you think that that's what it was back in the end of the 18th century, and then there's a little plaque there, which I'm not sure is totally right. You probably can't read it, but it says, Ballymena Borough Council put this there, the Braid Meeting House erected by the Reverend Thomas Carmichael, I think that says 1794, like the meeting at Kirkenriola. It was an anti-burgher seceder, and we'll explain what those terms are at some time, not tonight. The antecedent of Highkirk congregation. So we have 250 years. We're going to be celebrating this. We're going to be doing various things over the rest of the year to mark this, key event. So we had the twin kind of buildings going on, Kirkenriola, the one out at the Braid there near Bucknagh. And then through time, a minister was also actually serving a church in Ahochel, which eventually became Trinity Ahochel in the 1780s. There was one minister who was serving Kirkenriola, this little congregation of the Braid and Ahochel. Eventually, it came down to Kirkenriola, and then from Kirkenriola, they decided in 1823 to move into Ballymena, into High Street. And we were effectively the second Presbyterian church. So you've got First Presbyterian up there beside St. Patrick's, and then we've got us as Second Presbyterian. But we came to be known as High Kirk. 1976, we moved to this present site. We then did the extension down the way. Was that 1991? Anne will keep me right. Or was it 99? Can't remember. We'll check that later. Got the extension down at the far end. And then 2018, October, we finished the extension here. So 250 years, and a lot has happened from those little fellowships, those little gatherings. And I say, we're going to be celebrating this later in the year. And if we get permission, we might not get permission, but if we get permission, I would like to get some of the congregation out to these places, get Brian's drone above us, and just to take a few photographs of that. So we're working on that. We'll see how that transpires. But I think it's fascinating. History is a fascinating thing. But I think it's fascinating how times change, fashions change, buildings change. But each person, each church is called to run the race, to persevere, to give of our best, to serve with all the energies and the giftings that God gives. So as we reflect with the great cloud of witnesses that Hebrews mentions there, the great cloud of witnesses, which includes folks who worshipped in Kirk and Riola, who worshipped out at the Braid, who worshipped at Ahochel. As we are part of that number, they're cheering us on and saying, keep going, keep running the race that is laid out for you. Keep your eyes fixed on the author and perfecter of faith, the sole head of the church, Jesus, because he is worth it. He's worth it. So pressing on, would appreciate your prayer. I'm so thankful for this past year. But I believe it's just, in a sense, a new chapter, a new beginning as to what God has for us. So do pray. Do pray. Let's pray. Father, it's easy to be complacent. It's easy to put our feet up. It's easy to enjoy what we have. But you say, no, there's more. There's always more. Come and press in. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. And so that's my prayer this evening, Lord, that we will continue to run the race that you have marked out for us, whatever that may mean over these next years. Help us to press into you. Help us to press in. Let's not consider others. Let's not be entangled by sin. Let's not be distracted by other things, but let's just keep focusing on what you have for us here in High Kirk, and in faith and in trust and in confidence to trust in you and your leading. And we pray this for our good and for the glory and the building up and the extending of your kingdom. And God's people said, Amen.